you, sir. There it goes. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now, let me just warn you what's about to happen here in this service, because you just need to know this so you can buckle up and get ready. You're about to have an encounter with God, amen? This is how it happens, not because I'm special or because I'm anything. But the Bible, the way God does it is He speaks to a minister, one that's actually hearing from heaven and doing the Word of God and listening to the Word or following the Word. And He speaks to the pastor, and the pastor's supposed to tell you what the Lord's saying. And so how am I supposed to know if that happens? Well, God's going to say something today that's going to hit the bullseye of your heart, glory to God. And you're going to be like, man, He's speaking right to me. I can't tell you how many times we get testimonies about that. And again, that's not because of me. It's because God's good and He loves you. And so just be ready for when God speaks to you. And it's going to be a sign unto you this morning that He loves you and cares for you. You'll say, well, I didn't know it could be that good. Well, it can be that good and a lot better. So let's pray and believe God for that right now. Lord, we love You. We know it'll happen. We know You're good. Father, we don't just gather here because this is what You do on Sunday mornings. Father, I'm not playing church. There's a lot more things to do in life and a lot busier things that we could be doing than just to come here and play church. No, if we're going to come, we're going to get something from You, Father. And Lord, we know that You said in Your word that blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they'll be filled. So Father, right now we just get hungry and we expect this morning. Father, we raise our level of expectation up for what's going to be said this morning. This is not the mundane or the repetitive part of service. Father, this is the part of service where we get our help, where we get our change, where we get our blessing. And so, Father, speak through me. Lord, they don't need to hear my opinions. They don't need to hear my philosophy. Philosophies on life, Father, they need to hear from heaven. So, Lord, I thank You that as I open my mouth, I'll speak from heaven. Words from the throne this morning. And, Father, I thank You it will strike a chord in every single person's heart. Father, I don't know what everybody's going through personally. I don't know questions they may have. I don't know hard decisions that lie ahead for them. But, Father, You do. So, Lord, I thank You You'll speak to them. I thank You it'll strike that chord in their heart. And, Father, it will be a sign, and You'll show them that that You love them and that You care for them. And, Father, that church is where they need to be. Glory to God. And we give You the praise for that and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7 is where we're going to start. But I want to real quick just make mention. Remember last week we talked about thoughts and how the devil works through our thought life. You know, if the devil could just kill you, he would. He can't. He would. But the way he does is he'll put thoughts in people's heads and plant seeds in people's heads. And at first, they're just little and small. And then people think on them and they start to think wrong things. And then they start to act out and live wrong. And it becomes a stronghold in their life. So we know we need to be careful with our minds and what goes into our minds. We have to always filter it through the Word of God. Because if we don't, that's when the seeds grow and they become strongholds in our lives. Instead of little things, they become things that absolutely have us in bondage and things. And I want to talk about something today that will be a blessing to everybody and really is at the root of a lot of problems that come into people's lives. They try to directly deal with the problem without dealing with the real issue. And it's important that we see this, and it's important that we get this taken care of, because at one point or another, or maybe right now in our lives, we're either going to face this or we're facing it right now. But before I read this verse, I want to make mention that Jesus said, we don't have to turn there. But Jesus said in John chapter 5, He said, I only do what I see My Father do. Remember those verses? Yeah. In the book, I call it the Jesus rule, right? Sure. He said, I only do what the Father does. I only say what the Father does. My will is only to do what the Father's will is. I only speak as He speaks. And so we know that Jesus was here. He was like a God robot, wasn't He? He was just going to do everything that God had Him to do. Jesus wasn't here on His own accord. He didn't have His own ideas and His own ways of doing things. Basically, Jesus was like this. I'm not going to accept anything if it's not from God. And it worked out for Him, didn't it? Jesus was always full of joy. He was always full of victory. He was always full of life. Everywhere He went, He had a supply. Everywhere He went, power followed Him. Everywhere He went, victory followed Him. And you could trace it back to saying, I just want God. I only want what God will give me. And so many times people accept things that the world gives them. And they take things that the world gives them. And because the world says it's common and because the world says it's normal, they just go ahead and they just... kind of like that baby bird in the tree, mama bird can drop anything in that baby bird's mouth. I mean, mama bird could bring a little stick of dynamite back and baby bird be so hungry for that dynamite, right? Right. Yeah. But, and just drop anything in there. Well, that's the way a lot of Christians are. Well, the world says this is the way it has to be. No, you want to accept what God has for you. And 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7 says this, For God has not given us. Well, whatever he goes on to say, we want to make sure that we never accept this, that we never take this, that we're never okay with this, because if it's not given by God, we don't want it. Because when Jesus would not accept anything that wasn't from God. And he said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And it's interesting is that fear is not something to mess around with, because the Bible says that it's actually a spirit, isn't it? Well, we know if it's not coming from God in his spiritual realm, we know who it's coming from. Fear is coming from the enemy. And fear, a lot of times, absolutely will grip people and paralyze them and put them into such bondage. And you're going to see the danger of that and not dealing with fear. Because the world will say, well, you know what? How many of you know this? You can interchange the word fear and worry are interchangeable.
Yes.
I actually did a little bit of a study on those two words, and like psychologists and psychiatrists and a lot smarter people than me were talking about those two words and how they do elicit different responses, but they're interrelated. They're like really, really, like, I mean, they can almost be brother and sister, right? Fear and worry. And fear will cause worry, and worry can cause fear. And so, and you know, the world has programmed us to say, you have to be afraid. That how can you not be afraid? Look at the news. How you have kids now. I mean, how could you not be afraid or worried when you're raising kids? And you know, you have all these bills to pay and all this, and the doctors are telling you this and all this stuff. And we've been programmed to think that it's a normal response to be in fear and to be in worry. And you're going to see the danger of it today. And I'm going to show you what fear actually is. And then I'm going to show you how to deal with fear, because it needs to be put a stop to it today. No more. Because there's absolutely no biblical reason ever for you to be afraid of anything. And I know people might look at me googly eye and say, Pastor, that's very ignorant for you to say that. You don't know what I'm going through. I don't, but God does. And he has an answer, the right answer, for every single thing that you're facing. Not just to just get you by, but to make it better than it ever has before. And so if you're, you know, so many people go through things with fear. I mean, we could talk about things people are gripped with fear till tomorrow morning. I mean, fear of not making it, fear of not having enough, fear of whatever, right? Your body and your children turn out this way, and the fear of this, the fear of that. And if that's you today, I just encourage you to search your heart. What are those things that if you really put the microscope on your life, are you absolutely just terrified of? And I don't just mean like the boogie monster, right? Or you know, silly. I mean things that are real issues in your life. It could be about raising your kids. It could be about a doctor's report. It could be about a financial situation. It could be about a relationship situation. It could be about, I mean, anything that could get people into fear. And to put the microscope on your life and say, okay, if I really were to be honest with myself, I'm terrified of that. And that thing has me so scared. And I'm so afraid that it's not going to work out right. And I'm so afraid that it's not going to be okay. Those are the areas we need to deal with today. Because until you deal with the fear, your faith will never work in those areas. And I'm going to show you this in a second. So many people are trying to, they'll get a financial test or trial. They'll get a physical test or trial. And they'll get just absolutely gripped with fear. You ever been so afraid that you can just feel it coming from the bottom of your feet? Right? It's like a vine just growing around you, just grabbing onto you. And you can just feel that fear. It's paralyzing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so many people, they'll get those things and they'll try to attack those situations with their faith. And they haven't dealt with the root of the problem. The problem's not the healing. The problem's not the finances. The problem is the fear. And the fear needs to get driven out. And I'll show you that. But real quick, let me tell you a story that Pastor Nancy Dufresne told. She's a lady who walks in the Word, walks by faith, lives it. I mean, she lives it. And she had some symptoms come on her body. And I think, if I remember the story right, I know how it turned out, but I can't remember if when the symptoms came, she could feel that fear come on her because she had something important to do, I think, and she knew that if the symptoms fully progressed into a full-blown diagnosis or whatever, that she wouldn't be able to do that. It was something she needed to do, and so the symptoms came on her body, and immediately she got afraid, thinking, oh boy, what am I going to do? Well, she did what she normally does, is she got out her healing scriptures. You know, when you're not feeling well, go to the Word. Find out what the Bible says about healing. Claim it for yourself. Believe it. And she went, and she's pacing the floor, quoting the Word, you know, by his stripes I'm healed. He took all my infirmities, my sicknesses. He bore them, all my diseases. And she's going through the Word, and she's getting sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker. And she's not a lady who, you know, when she doesn't have results, that bothers her. And it should bother you when you don't have results. You ought to have enough sense to go to God and say, Lord, why isn't this working? Right? He'll tell you. If you want to know, he'll tell you. If you're open to hearing. And so she did. She said, Lord, I don't understand. These things don't last for me days and days and days. What's going on? Is it just an attack or am I doing something wrong? And the Lord said, well, what did you do about it? She said, well, I got the healing scriptures out. I said, you did the wrong thing. Healing wasn't the problem. It was the fear that was the problem. When you got into fear, you opened the door to those symptoms to keep progressing and progressing. You were trying to fight the fire with the wrong thing. And you needed to deal with that fear first. And I want to show you that in the Word. Go with me to Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. The number one thing I want to show you is the danger of being in fear. Don't let the world tell you that it's normal. It's not biblically normal to worry about your children, to worry about your finances, to worry about your health. I don't care what anybody tells you, it's not biblically normal to do that. We're not of this world, by the way. We don't have to accept what the world has. We don't have to take what the world gives us. And just because the majority of people and even Christians are living this way does not change the standard of the Word, right? Sometimes the Word can look untrue because so many people don't look like the Word. Well, it doesn't change the Word, and it doesn't change the message. I'm not going to bring the message down on a level so, you know, oh, it's okay to be in a little bit of fear. No, it's not. It's never okay. And I'm going to show you this in the scripture, and you're going to see, wow, it's not okay. Because the one thing that you need in those situations that are causing you to have fear is you need faith. You see, we know that we have just absolutely knocked down the wall of religion in this church. We know that God just doesn't pick and choose who he wants to move upon. And God just doesn't look down and say, you know, I feel real bad for their situation. And I really love them, so I'm going to bless them. And, you know, I just decided to do this person this day and bless this person this day. That ain't how it works. God goes everywhere in the Bible. God went where faith took him. Faith will bring God in your situation. You believe in God will summon heaven onto the situation that you need. So anyways, Mark chapter 4 and verse 35, it says this, in the same day when evening was come, he, Jesus, said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. So in Jesus' mind, where were they going? The other side of that body of water. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Now again, I'm not a sailor, but I do know it's not good to have a boat full of water, right? I do know that. I don't claim to be very book smart or naturally smart, but I do know on the water, I want the water outside of the boat. And so now the Bible says that it was there arose a great storm of wind and it beat in so that it was full of water. Not just a little puddle, a boat full of water. That's not good. Anybody ever had a great storm arise out of nowhere? Just boom, ding dong, knock, knock, open the door, and there's hell. Anybody had that in their lives? Oh, I have. And I'll tell you, those situations, the shock of them and the absolute just impact at first causes that fear to be able to start to take a hold of your life, and we can't let it. And so he was in, let's see how bad the storm was. Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. Well, according to him, the storm ain't that bad. He's sleeping as the boat's filled with water. What was he, like floating on it? And just, I want to see, you know, I want to know what happened. And they awoke him and said, now here's, we get an idea of how bad the storm was. And they awoke him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, they didn't say, carest thou not that we might die in this? No, they were convinced they're dead. Professional fishermen in the worst storm of their life are convinced. They're saying, Lord, you don't care. We're dying right now. How are you asleep? Dude, wake up, right? Like, we're dying here. Don't you care about this? So were they in fear? Were they in worry? Absolutely they were. They were in fear. They were in worry. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Now notice what Jesus said to them. I love this. Oh, he's so good. You don't ever get mad at me for being bold. Jesus didn't say to them, come here, boys. Come on, cuddle up with me. It's and pet their heads and say, you know what? I understand what you're going through. You don't want somebody just to understand what you're going through. You want somebody that's going to tell you the right answer, by the way. And he didn't just pet them and say, boys, I get this. I get what you're going through, and I feel so bad for you. And it was the worst storm ever. I can understand why you acted like that. That's not what he said, because that was not their help. Jesus looked at them and said, why are you afraid? He said, how is it that you have how much faith?
No
faith. So guess what that means? If you have any fear in your life, you have no faith, which means you have no ability to get through that thing that's causing you to have fear. I didn't say it. He did. Take it up with him. Don't give me the dirty looks. Give Jesus the dirty looks and take it up with him when you see him face to face. Praise the Lord. I heard one minister say it this way. He said, be glad you're hearing it from me and not from him. Right? Be glad you don't have to wait to get there. Be glad someone will tell you here on earth so you can change those things. But I love it because we don't want the answer. Sometimes we just want the shoulder. The shoulder's not wrong, but the shoulder needs to be there with the right response of what to do. And this is how you're going to get through that thing. Glory to God. And so anyways, the number one reason you don't want to be in fear is because fear paralyzes your faith. Fear puts your faith in chains, in handcuffs, and your faith doesn't work. And Jesus told us that fear and faith don't mix. And so those situations that you are searching your heart, that you're diagnosing yourself and putting the microscope on yourself, what are they? What are those fearful situations that you have that are just gripping you so much that you can't sleep, that you're going through your mind over and over and over and over again? Well, you need to make sure that we figure out how to, that's what we're going to do today, right? We could just, if we close the service now, you'd say, I feel ripped off. I don't even know what to do. What am I supposed to do with the fear? Well, we'll get there. Praise the Lord. And the second thing I want you to see that will help you when you get a fearful situation in your life. Because listen, the one thing I'm not doing is downplaying what people are going through. Holy cow, I've been there. Where you open the door and there's hell. And it's like the most terrifying thing in the world. But you have to get over that fear and get into faith ASAP. Because the longer you stay out of faith, the more opening the devil has to just wreak more havoc. You need to get into a place of faith and start attacking that thing head on, right? And that's just what we need to do. But I want to show you that will help you. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 35, the second point I want to make about fear, number one is the danger of it. Number two is fear is a liar. Fear is nothing but a lie from the enemy. Say, well, you need to show me that in the Word. Well, I'm glad you asked because I will. And here's what I want you to see, though, is if the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, we know it comes from the enemy. Well, you got to know about the devil. The Bible says the devil's the father of lies. He's a liar. He doesn't know how to speak truth. And when he pumps you full of fear, and it's not going to work out, and this is going to happen in your life, and this is how it's going to turn out, and it's not going to be okay, all that is lies from the pit of hell, because the Word says it is going to turn out. The Word says your best days are yet ahead of you. The Word says the most prosperous days are yet ahead. Your healthiest days are yet ahead of you. That's what the Word says. And so, but the devil will tell you something different. He's been doing it from the beginning of time. Remember last week? God told Adam and Eve something. The devil came along and said, God didn't say that. God said this, liar, liar, pants on fire, right? And hang your butt on a telephone wire, devil, right? That's how it goes. And I think there's more to it, but we'll stop there because I'm not sure if it gets into like bad things or not. So we'll just stop and praise the Lord. But I want to show you fear is a liar. In that same verse in Mark chapter 4, Michelle, could you pull up verse 35? Now, the disciples didn't see like we have. We kind of think, man, what a bunch of morons, right? But we'd have done the same thing. We'd have been peeing our pants with that boat full, and it would have been terrible. And so the disciples, they didn't know that would happen from the beginning and the end, did they? They didn't know that it was going to turn out. They should have known, just like you should know by the Word. But Jesus said in Mark 4 and verse 35 at the end, he says, let us pass over to the other side. So looking at the situation from beginning to end now, we know they weren't dying that day. That boat was not going to sink to the bottom of that body of water. They were convinced it was. I mean, they were convinced they're dead, it's over. What am I trying to tell you? That all that fear that they were in, all that fear that led them to believe that it's over, it was nothing but a lie the whole time. They were never dying. They were never going under. It was not their last day on planet Earth. Do you see how it works? How the devil will work? He'll tell you the worst possible situation and get you to grab onto that and believe that, because he knows, got them, paralyze their faith, it's over. It's over, I do whatever I want with them now. But the truth of the matter was they were never dying. I mean, Jesus, number one, told them, see, they were with him. They knew he was the Son of God. They knew he couldn't lie. Why? Because he just got done saying, I only do what my Father does. I only say what he says. God is not a man that should lie. They knew that verse. It was Old Testament. And God already said, I don't lie. And so if Jesus is only saying what God is saying, it's therefore saying Jesus can't lie. And so when he says, let's go to the other side, they have to go to the other side or he's a liar. And then we have to shut the whole thing down, cancel the church, put a for sale sign on this, because then the whole thing's false and it's not true, right? But he said, we're going to the other side. That should have been enough for them. That should have been enough for them. That when fear came up, they said, wait a second. This fear is real. You see, that's the thing is, you got to be a person. Yeah, that's good, Father. You got to be a person that's not a circumstance looker. So many people have their sights on their circumstances. Your sights need to be on the Word. You see, the disciples, they had a Word that would have gotten to that other side. When that water started filling up, they would have said, you know what? This stinks. And this is not fun and doesn't feel good. But I know one thing, we're not going to the bottom, because that guy in the sleep on the pillow that we see heal everywhere he goes, who always speaks truth, who does miracle signs and wonders, he said, we're going to the other side. I've not seen him lie. He only speaks from his Father. His Father never lies. So we're going to the other side. The boat can keep filling up. We'll just keep taking water and throwing it out as fast as we can. But we know somehow we're getting to dry land. That should have been enough for him. Should have been enough for him. But they were circumstance lookers, weren't they? They started to look at the water rising up. Oh, boy. And that's what Christians do. They start to see the bills pile up and the checking account going down. They see the doctor's report. It's so real. They can feel it. They can touch it. They can taste it. And they have everything set on that, and fear has them. Isn't it true? I mean, I'm not coming down on anybody. I'm telling you how it works and how it's worked in my life. And I'll tell you, I never realized the opportunity to be in worry and fear until I had a child. When I had a child, I realized, okay, this is what it's like to have an opportunity to really worry, to really be in fear, to really, I remember we were at the hospital when Caleb was born, and the doctor came in and said, pulled Courtney aside, said, your son has a heart issue. I'm just telling you exactly how it happened that day. He said, your son has a heart issue. I said, no, he doesn't. This is a doctor who went to school for years. Probably still paying off the student loans from all the schooling. He said, your son has a heart issue. I said, no, he doesn't. Let me see him. He said, well, we're running tests. I said, let me see my son. So we went and we laid hands on him. I said, in the name of Jesus, whatever they're saying is going on in this body, I command it to go in the name of Jesus. But the point of the story wasn't it turned out he didn't have the heart issue. The doctor said, we ran the test. It's not there anymore. I said, no, it was never there to begin with. Now, it was naturally, but by faith, it wasn't there. And he came back to me. But the point of the story was when he said, your son has a heart issue, you talk about fear trying to jump all over my body. Here, she had quite a traumatic delivery. I mean, he was like stuck in there for 2.5 hours. He was like almost a 10-pounder. And the doctor said after, hey, if I'd have known that, we'd have just give you a C-section. Well, thanks for not knowing that, doctor, because they're telling us all these things because he's, stuck in the birth canal, all this stuff. And so it was a traumatic thing. And then they're coming back and telling me he has a heart issue. I'll tell you what, the fear. But see, I remembered something. I remember I have a word. I have a word from God that tells me that I have a covenant with him, a covenant of healing, a covenant of victory, and a covenant of health going forward, and all these things. And not only does it include me, it includes my offspring, because the Bible says the generation of the upright will be blessed and their seed will be mighty on the earth. And I remembered that, and the fear came on me, and I walked out of there after I prayed for him, because even after I prayed for him and used faith, that fear is still trying to jump on me. And I paced those hospital floors. I said, Lord, I thank you that my child's blessed and mighty on this earth. You said that my child was like an arrow in the hand of a mighty warrior. You know what an arrow in the hand of a mighty warrior is? It's a tool. It hits the mark. A mighty warrior hits the bullseye. So my kid's hitting the bullseye. He doesn't have these problems. But the point was the fear. And thank God I didn't do what the disciples did that day. Because Jesus wasn't there naturally to go in there and lay hands on my child. My son depended somebody that had faith to do it. Your situation demands and depends on somebody knowing what they're doing. They're lucky. They better thank their lucky stars Jesus was in the boat that day. Because if he wasn't, guess where they would have gone? Right down the bottom. Thank God they had a man of faith in that boat. And I'll tell you what, your situations need a man of faith in that boat, or a woman of faith in that boat. Because things might look like they're sinking, and things might look like someone's got to stand up, draw a line in the sand, and say, no, it's not happening to me. Glory to God. Praise God. So many people just accept that. Well, that's what the doctor said. No, that's not what the word says. Well, that's what my checkbook says. No, that's not what the word says. Well, that's what the doc, no. That's what, no, don't accept it. Stand up. Be a person of faith. Do what you've been taught. People get so down and complain when they have to use their faith. What have I been teaching you for 3 years? So when the time comes, you know what to do. You know why a soldier goes to boot camp? Because when the time comes for war, they know what to do. They know how to use that weapon. They know how to fight. They've been trained for this. They didn't train them just because, oh, it's cool. And it's fun to go through the mud and under barbed wire and shoot guns. That's not why they do it. They do it for a reason, a purpose. Why are we teaching you faith? Because if you want to be an overcomer and you want to claim that and you want to put that on t-shirts and jump around and be glad you're an overcomer, then you're going to have to overcome something. If you want to be somebody that is more than a conqueror, well, then you're going to have something more to conquer. It's just true. And know this, that the greatest faith champions are born out of the greatest faith trials. The hottest tests and the hottest trials come the greatest champions. They'll make or break you, praise God. And I believe we have a bunch of people in here that it's going to make them. But if you're a circumstance person, you'll never make it. You know, I wrote that down because sometimes when I don't write a whole lot of notes, but sometimes when I'm preparing, the Lord will speak a phrase in there, and I want to put it down. And I wrote that. If you are a believer in circumstances over the word, then you're in trouble. That came in my heart. You're in trouble. I meant to tell you, you're in trouble. If you believe the checkbook, if you believe the natural, if you believe the doctor's report, and that's where your faith is, then that is a problem. You know, Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, come walk on the water, in a different story. Jesus said, come to me. Well, that was the word of God. Jesus gave Peter permission to walk on the water, didn't he? And the Bible says Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water to come to Jesus. He actually was walking towards him, defying the laws of gravity, defying the laws of water, whatever laws there are. And he's defying them all. And he's going towards him. And he's walking on water. And then it says, but, and that's the problem. That big old doubt but gets in the way. And it's a jiggly thing, isn't it? It's big and it just butts its way in there. It says, but when, pay attention to this, but when Peter saw the wind and saw the waves, he began to sink. You see, before he had his eyes set on what the word said. The word said, come. The wind and the waves were always there, but his focus wasn't on the wind and the waves. His focus was on the word, which was, come to me, Peter. And he got out there and he's walking on water, and all of a sudden he took his attention. It got hotter, right? The bills got higher. The situation got worse, right? And he started to look around. He saw, oh my God, the waves. How am I doing this? What's going on? Oh my gosh, the wind is. And the Bible says he began to sink.
That's right.
Yeah. Where's your faith, Peter? Well, it was in the word when it wasn't. Psalm 23 and verse 4. Fear, 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 fear. Psalm 23 and verse 4. This is David talking. Now people say, well, Pastor, but you don't understand what I'm going through. No, don't let the devil lie that to you and almost make it seem like there's a problem so big that God can't handle it. Don't let the devil lie that to you. And don't accept that lie. Because the Bible says you always triumph. You're always victorious. If you do it his way, you will end up smelling like roses. And you won't only smell like roses. You'll come through that situation and you'll be in a better position in life than you ever were. You'll be you'll be so far above. How do I know? Because I've lived it. I've seen people live it. I've gone through hell at times, and even hell that I've created. I've even created my own hell, and God's been so merciful. And I come out of that thing and I look back, I say, holy cow. Remember the devil stole from Job? God didn't just give Job back what the devil stole. God gave him back double. Why? God said, I'm going to give you double for your trouble. And whatever trouble you're going through, put your faith in God. He'll give you double for your trouble. And it'll be so much better. You think now, I know a certain way I want it. I want to see it this way. I have an outcome in my head. Listen, God will blow your mind. He's the God of Ephesians 3:20. He could do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or even think with your brain. So whatever you're thinking of how good it could turn out, just cancel. Because God's already saying, I'm topping that. I'm exploding what you're thinking, and I'm going to make it so much better that you're going to look back and say, I didn't even think it could be that good.
Hallelujah.
That's the God that you have. And yes, I'm passionate about it, as my head's about to fall off up here. I get to going. Psalm 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There ain't no valley worse than that. There ain't no place you can walk worse than the valley of shadow of death. Anybody ever feel like they've been there or are there? Oh, I've felt like it. Been in the valley of the shadow of death, that there's just no hope. I've been there. But David said, I will fear nothing. I will fear nothing. No evil. Yea, though I'm going through it. Yea, everything around me feels bad, looks bad, sounds bad. It just absolutely is just pressing on me, I'm not going to fear any evil. Why? He knew something. For you are with me.
Amen.
And that changes the whole equation. When you know God, when you know, not just head knowledge, when you know God is with you, how can you ever fail? He's never failed. You think he wants you to fail? When you know God is with you, the God of the universe who loves you so much, how are you going to let a bill or some debt bother you? He's God. Do we forget he's God and he's with you? Holy cow. He loves you. Praise God. And so, but what I want you to see is he said, I'll fear no evil in the midst of evil all around him. And then in verse 5, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my, what?
Enemies.
See what I mean? If you're a circumstance looker, you'll never make it. Because God says, listen, I'm going to prepare a blessing for you in the midst of bad circumstances. Just get used to it. As long as you live in this world, things aren't going to be good all the time. There's always going to be tests and trials, always, some worse than others. But God says, listen, I want you to sit down and enjoy a meal with me in the midst of what's going on. Praise God. Well, the last, we're not going to be here too long. Last but not least, number 3. So number 1, we saw the danger of fear. It'll crush your faith. Number 2, fear's a liar. Yeah. It's just a liar. Those situations that are telling you you won't make it, that's a lie.
Right.
That's a lie because the Word says you will. But what are you going to look at, the Word or your circumstances? Number 3, I want to show you how to deal with fear. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and verse 20 and verse 22. Mark 5 and 22, it says, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. Well, here's why, verse 23. And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him or grasped at him. Well, here's a situation. A guy comes and falls at Jesus' feet and says, will you come heal my daughter? She's dying. Now, I don't know about you, and if you've lost a child, my goodness, God wants to supernaturally heal that. God wants to comfort you. But I know this for myself, that getting a report that my son or daughter might die, that's probably the worst thing that I think a parent could ever hear, ever. And so we know that there was an opportunity for this guy to be in some major fear, wasn't there? And so anyways, Jesus goes to follow him, and then you see the story of the woman with the issue of blood. On the way, Jesus heals another lady. But in verse 34, it says, of Mark chapter 5, he said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and behold thy plague. That's the woman he ran into. On the way to Jairus' house to heal his daughter, he ran into this woman. This is the end of that story. He lays hands on this woman, and he says, daughter, go in peace. Your faith has made you whole. And then in verse 35, it says, while he yet spake, so while he's saying to this other woman, daughter, your faith has made you whole, somebody's coming to tell him something. It says, while he yet spake, there came a ruler of the synagogue's house, one of Jairus' people at his house, and said, your daughter is dead. So before Jairus tells Jesus, my daughter's at the point of death, would you come heal her? Now he's getting report. Now remember, here's what you have to understand. Jesus went and followed Jairus. Do you think Jesus would have followed Jairus, went towards his house, if Jesus would have known there was no hope for that little girl? No. He didn't waste his time. He knows that little girl's getting healed. And it was a demonstration of the will of God that he started going on the direction with her that day. And so anyways, the ruler of the synagogue came and said, your daughter's dead. Why do you trouble the master any further? Now, this is what you have to see, and this is your answer of what you do. The minute, the second that fear starts to creep in, this is what you do in verse 36. I love it. It says, as soon. Didn't wait, didn't give fear an opportunity, didn't meditate on it, didn't think about, oh, what would this look like if that's true? Uh-uh, that's not what faith does. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, what word? The word that was contrary to what he was going to do that day. The word that was contrary to what the will of God was. The word that tells you you're done financially. Your kids are going this way. You're never going to make it in this situation. Your body's this. As soon as that word comes, you need to do something with it because that's opposite of what God says you can have. Don't accept what God says you, don't accept anything that's not from God. And if God said you can have it, don't be satisfied till you get it. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid. Isn't that amazing? The number one, remember, the root of every problem is always fear. It's not the healing a lot of times. It's not the finances. It's the fact that you're so fearful of it not turning out, then your faith can't work. The first thing Jesus said to him, don't be afraid. You can't be afraid, Jairus. And you're going to see the rest of the story in a second, that the reason he needed Jairus' help, See, if you're a mommy or a daddy, you have authority over your children.
Sure.
You do. You have authority over your children. If you're a business owner, you have authority over your business. When you start getting outside the realms of your reach, with, you know, as family members go, it wanes and wanes because they have more authority over their own kids. But in my household, nobody has more faith for my children than me. God doesn't even have more faith. God told me to raise my children. God told me and my wife to raise my children. Jesus can't supersede even what I want for my own children. He can't do it because God put kids in parents' hands. That's what he did. But anyways, and so you're going to see that Jesus needed this man's help. And let me get going here. He said, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered or allowed no man to follow him except Peter, James, and John. Notice he took the three people that were in faith. He had 12 disciples. He only took three. And I do need to say it because it's so important. Be careful what you're listening to.
Oh, that's good.
Be careful what you're listening to. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing. Faith for bad things can come just as much as faith for good things.
Sure.
Do you know when my kids go through something or we have a test and trial, there's hardly anybody, hardly anybody when we're going through it that will know a lick of what we're going through. Why? Because I don't want to hear the negative reports come out of their mouth. I don't want to hear them start spouting off, "Oh, what are you going to do?" and start putting fear in me.
Right.
I remember one time I was having an issue in my stomach, and I was listening to people. They're telling me, you know that, what that could be, and they were telling me. And I knew in my heart, it's not that. I knew that.
Right.
But I'd listened to them so much, you bet you have to get that check. I went and wasted all this money. The doctors came back and told me exactly what I already knew what it was. But fear caused me to act different.
Right.
Yeah. And so be careful who you're listening to. Listen, I know that we love to hear people pat us on the butt and coddle us. But make sure the ones that are patting you on the rear and that are coddling you are telling you it's going to be all right and you're going to make it. It's going to be better than it ever has before. You don't want to hear someone telling you the wrong way and giving you faith that, "Oh, it's going to be so bad. It's not going to work out." I'll tell you what, be careful being around that. You'll get your faith in that. We're very selective of who we tell anything to. Because I want someone in my corner that's going to tell me, "Pastor Mike, you're going to be better. It's going to be more prosperous. It's going to be more victorious. It's going to be more glorious." And those are the people I tell stuff to that are going to pump me full of faith, not fear and doubt. And he come to the house, verse 38, of this ruler of the synagogue, and he saw the tumult or the commotion and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said, "Why do you make this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but she sleeps." And they laughed him to scorn. Why? They knew naturally she was gone. She didn't have a pulse. She was dead. But Jesus, by faith, said, just like that doctor said, "Your son has this." Naturally, my son had a heart problem. But by faith, no, he does not. Just Jesus said, "No, she's not dead. She's just sleeping." And they laughed him to scorn. Now look at this. But when he put them all out, all the people that were fear and doubters, Jesus drove out of the situation. Let me tell you something. You got fear and doubters in your life, driving fear and doubt into you, drive them out. You don't need to hear that junk when you're going through hell. Just call me. I'll make sure you get off the phone with me feeling like you're going to conquer planet Earth. If you're down and out and you're having trouble, just give me a call. I'll make sure that you get off that phone call and you feel like you're going to go take on an army of 2,000 people. Anybody ever experience that? I'll make sure you know it's going to be okay because I'm not just feeding you a line and blowing smoke at you. It's the truth. So if you don't, I don't know anybody like that. 720-2372 is my number. Give me a call. We'll talk. Amen. I'll make sure you know it's going to be all right. And I'll be here for you 24/7, 365. Don't matter what time of day. If you need something, you let me know and we'll make sure to get it to you. Amen. Praise God. And so they laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, he took the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, said to her, "Talitha kumai," which is interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto you, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked. For she was of the age of 12 years. What was fear saying? She's dead. Fear was lying. She never died. She got right back up, and praise God. And so this is real quick, and I'm closing here. When fear creeps up, the first thing you do as soon as it comes, you respond with the word of God. As soon as fear creeps up, write these scriptures down, and then we're praying. These are fear scriptures. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. I'm just going to go through these quick. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. Joshua 1 and verse 9. Because when fear comes, listen, money might be your problem, but you don't need the financial scriptures until you can battle that with peace. Go at the financial problems when you're in peace, not when you're bad. "I'm coming because I'm so afraid." If you're walking the floor quoting financial scriptures out of fear, that's not faith. Oh, I got to do this. If I don't, it's not going to work out. No, go in peace and then say, oh, by his stripes, or my God shall supply. Joshua 1 and verse 9. These are fear scriptures. You need to recognize when something comes, am I afraid or do I just need to battle this thing? Hebrews 13 verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Psalm 23 verse 4 and 5. And then two more. Psalm 23 verse 4 and 5. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Isaiah 41, 10. And then it would do you all good to go back and just meditate in Psalm 91, verses 1 through 16. Promise you so much about deliverance and protection and not having to be afraid of things. Oh, my God, it's good. Praise the Lord. So praise God. That's what you do. Don't get in fear. It'll crush your faith. Number two, fear's just a lie. It's lying to you. Find out what the truth is in the Word. And number three, deal with it with the Word. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you today. We're just so grateful for your Word. Father, help them to realize where it's coming from and to deal with it when it comes. Father, I thank you. Thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you so much for your mercy. Thank you so much that we don't have to be afraid. Father, it's not that you're down on us or you're mad at us. You're just trying to tell us there's a better way. And that it doesn't have to be that way, that I have an answer for you. Father, I thank you for those answers. I thank you for that help that we so desperately need at times. You're so good and kind to us. You're just more than willing to help us. We thank you for that. And Lord, we see that in your willingness to rescue mankind through Jesus. Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for sending him to die for us. If I could ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. Maybe you don't know this, but Jesus came and died on the cross for you. And the Bible says that when he died on the cross, that all the sins of the world were placed on him. All your sins, good, anything you did wrong has been placed on Jesus. And the Bible says that if you believe he rose from the dead, that all you have to do to get accepted by God. Now, I know this is going to make the religious thinking in you go squirrely, and I know it's going to make everything maybe you've been taught go crazy, but the only thing you have to do to get God to accept you is to believe in him and to call on his name. If you're here, ask yourself this question right now. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? Ask yourself that question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? If your answer isn't a 100% heaven, you can be sure. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to have you come to the front. We're not going to have you stand up and say anything on your own. You're not going to, this is between you and God. But if you can say, I don't know where I'd go, but I believe in Jesus. I believe he came. I believe he rose again. And if you want to receive him today, nobody's looking around. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus this morning, would you just lift your hand in the air real quick, and then you'll have you put it right back down. I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise the Lord. I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're not in the business of trying to embarrass people. We just want to tell you how easy it is to get accepted by God. Well, the Bible says there's only one step left for you to do, and that's to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart. But we're not going to have you do that on your own. I promised you I wouldn't embarrass you. So what we're going to do is we're going to all pray a prayer together. I'm going to say a prayer, and I just ask you to repeat it after me, but mean it with all your heart. Don't just say the words, mean them. And if you believe Jesus died, rose again, and you want him in your life, it is so simple, so simple. And so we're all going to pray a prayer. If you raised your hand or if you're listening by live stream and you know you need to be included on this prayer, just jump into this prayer with us by faith. And what the Bible says about you being saved and accepted by God, it'll come true. Praise God. So if you raised your hand, say this after me and along with everybody else in the church. Everybody say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look up here. Praise God. That's exciting. You know, the Bible says when one person prays and accepts Jesus, that there's a party in heaven. Can you imagine what's going on with two? Praise the Lord. And so glory to God. Just encourage you. If you are one of those people that raise your hand, and this goes for everybody in here, the next step for you is so important. God doesn't want you just... You could never go to church again and go to heaven. You could do that. But God has wonderful, wonderful things for you that he wants you to live like heaven on earth. And the way you do that is to get into a good Bible teaching church that will tell you the word so you can get faith for it, believe it, and have it come become a reality in your life. So let's just give God glory today. Father, thank you so much for what took place today. We thank you fear has no place in our lives. Father, we thank you, Lord, that Father, that not only fear has no place, but Father, we thank you these things that we're facing, These things that we're going through, we say no, that we're going to overcome them. And not only are we going to overcome, but when we get to the other side of it, Lord, we're not going to be less. We're not going to be the same. We're going to be better. And we give you praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, of course, the Bible, we're going to close, but the Bible says, if you lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. If there's anybody that needs prayer for anything in their body at all, and you just want me to pray and lay hands on you, I'd love to do that for you. No pressure. Praise the Lord. Do you want to come up, Michaela? Anybody else want to come up? Just come up and we'll pray. What doesn't feel good? Shoulder. What'd you do?
In the name of Jesus, heal that tooth. In the name of Jesus, we just ask for reconstruction of that tooth. Take the pain away in Jesus' name. From the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, Father. Take the power of God and put it in your mouth. In Jesus' name. No, God, we just thank you for it. You're going to thank him for it when you think about it. If there's anything, just thank him. Hallelujah. Anybody else with my hand laid on? Praise the Lord. Awesome. Well, have an awesome rest of the day.